The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Sisters in Loss podcast, a faith-based podcast that spotlights Black women who replace silence with storytelling around pregnancy and infant loss and infertility. Black women experience miscarriage and stillbirth 4 to 5 times more likely than white women, according to the NIH and CDC. Whether you've experienced a miscarriage, infant loss, stillbirth, are trying to conceive, or have an infertility diagnosis, you will learn about resources and strategies to heal, gain clarity, peace, hope, and find an empowering path forward after loss. I'm your host, Erica M. McAfee, and you will hear me interview sisters in loss who have healed from such a painful and traumatic experience by sharing their testimonies and stories to inspire and help others turn their pain into their purpose. Now let's get started.
Well, thank you so much, Tanisha, for being on the podcast.
I appreciate the opportunity, Erica. It's been I've been listening to the podcasts that you post. Some of them I remember and recall, particularly the episode with the surrogate. And there was a mom on there that lost her daughter. And so she's like creating dresses for mothers of loss to bear their child. So those are the two that ring out to me. I can remember the mother's name, but she designs gowns, or she has like a donation where she designs gowns for mothers who have lost children. So it's a blessing to be on here with you.
Awesome. Yes. So I would love for you to share a little bit about yourself and what you do with Alyssa.
Okay, so a little bit about myself. I call myself a medical mom of NICU. That's what I've named myself on all my social media. And it's just because I am a mother of a miracle baby who has chronic kidney disease. And my pathway to motherhood hasn't been as smooth sailing as I thought it would be. But I thank God for allowing my son to be alive, because he, at 20 weeks, we were told at 20 weeks that he would be a stillborn based on his birth defect called lower urinary tract obstruction. And that's basically just a blockage in the urinary tract in utero that affects the kidneys, lungs, and bladder. And so we end up having fetal care intervention out of state. We're originally from Arkansas. We had to go to Ohio. So long story short, I was in my master's program at the time that I was pregnant with Jaleel. And I was studying mass communications, and my professors, they were very gracious with allowing me to continue my program and have grace in the process of me being in Cincinnati. And later on, I turned my story with Jaleel into a quote-unquote like a ministry to give back and connect with NICU moms, courageous NICU moms. So primarily, I'm a stay-at-home mom. I care for my son 24/7 because he has different needs, like a G-tube feed, dialysis treatment every night, and mass medications and therapy. So that's a little bit about myself. I've been married for 4 years to my husband, and he's been through the ride with me, so I appreciate him as well.
Awesome. And before we hit record, I mentioned that we are kindred spirits because we both have medically complex children, but I would love for you to take us all the way back on your journey to motherhood and share with us your loss story.
So, Erica, the first pregnancy, I actually didn't know that I was miscarrying, actually. I just knew that I had missed my period because I'm pretty regular. And I was going to a job screening where I had to do a urinalysis, and I was bleeding more than I usually do for my menstrual. And it was about 8 weeks. My husband and I went to the OBGYN, and she asked me, if I had any cramping or bleeding activity because she couldn't find a sack. And I said, I was bleeding, but not really cramping. And she said, I can't find anything in your uterus right now. So most likely that was a miscarriage. That was my first time. And I think we were just in our first year of marriage when that happened. Yeah, we were just in our first year of marriage. I always thought motherhood was just something that happens, like a fairy tale. And it wasn't until that experience that I was like, wow, this can really happen. And the OBGYN explained to me that this is a normal thing, that there's nothing that I did wrong in particular. It just is part of the process of being pregnant. And it's an unfortunate process at that. And so after that, a year later, I conceived again. I took a pregnancy test and I told my husband I had the positive, and he was very excited. But it didn't sink in that I was pregnant, Erica, until I went to my ultrasound at 8 weeks and saw that heartbeat. And Jaleel was ticking, I believe it was like 155, 160 beats per minute. And then that, from there, I was in love. And but at 20 weeks, like I said in the beginning, my heart was broken again because, like I said, I found out my son had a rare diagnosis and his kidneys were very damaged. And they do an ultrasound, more detailed ultrasound anatomy scan at the 20 weeks. And the doctor explained that his diagnosis was so severe that it was putting not only damage on his kidneys, but also his lungs were very severely underdeveloped. And the likelihood of him living outside the womb was very slim to none. So imagine being 20 weeks pregnant and you hear this news. Your mind is in baby mode and nursery mode and baby shower mode. You hear this news and you're like, what? So I couldn't say anything. My husband had to be my mouthpiece. And he asked him for other options, because before we were given that Jaleel would be a stillborn or he would live only a short amount of time outside the womb, or I could terminate the pregnancy. And my husband was like, no, there's got to be other ways. Like, there's got to be other specialty doctors. And that's when the doctor actually took some time to research and give us those opportunities to get referred medically out of state. And at the time, it was Houston that he recommended, Boston, and also Cincinnati and Philadelphia. And out of the four, I was gravitating towards Cincinnati because I'm originally from Columbus, Ohio. So I just felt like that was God already intervening on our behalf. And when I called them, they were just so, so heartwarming. And they told us that they would be willing to see us for some intervention if we're open to it. And so we left our home in Arkansas and drove down there to Cincinnati, Ohio within the week. And what they did, Erica, to kind of help Jaleel while he was inside of me was to put some amniotic fluid in the sac so that he could have some type of fluid around him because he had none at the time. And so they call it an amniocentesis. And I did two of those. And then eventually he had to have a shunt placed into his right kidney to help drain the amniotic fluid that was in his kidneys. And so they still didn't know whether or not this intervention would help save his life or not. And his lungs were still underdeveloped. And right when we were born, we had some steroid shots. So that's been my journey to motherhood in that way. After Jaleel was born, he needed a lot of intervention. But I want to pause there because it's a lot of information. I don't want to talk too much.
No, go right into all of his NICU stay. You know, how long was he in the NICU? What are the interventions and things, the ups and downs that you went through while he was in the NICU? And then how has life been since he's been home, you know?
Okay, so we were in Cincinnati for a couple of weeks when they did the fetal care intervention. Then we came back home. Everything was appearing to be fine for 2 months. We were in Arkansas, our home. And after that, I had to go fly right back out to Cincinnati because the fluid was low again. And so at that point, that's when they put that shunt in, and that helped us up until the end of the year. Jaleel was born January 2018, and the shunt stopped working around Christmas. And I recall that because I was admitted to the hospital at that point when he had the shunt was ineffective. And so I was in hospital, and he came at 36 weeks and 5 days. He came naturally, a vaginal delivery. Surprisingly, a lot of people think that I had a C-section, but I actually had a vaginal delivery. The OBGYN had put some more fluid inside of my vagina to help Jaleel make a smooth exit out. And he eventually came out. I heard the little cry. You could tell he was struggling a little bit. And I held him for a few seconds, and then the NICU team strapped him into the incubator and transferred him with my husband to Cincinnati Children's. And we were at Cincinnati Children's for a while, up until April 2018. And Jaleel had a combination of about 8 surgeries, and a lot of them were catered towards the kidneys. Overall, he was doing okay with his lungs. He needed the oscillator and ventilator, and then nasal cannula for a couple months. And then he was able to breathe room air. So most of the attention became more to his kidneys, and they had to put a couple dialysis catheters in him to help him with a kidney disease that he was having. And later on, after April, we were air transferred back to Arkansas Children's. Jaleel spent a couple more months there. He was discharged from the NICU in June. At that point, he had the G-tube to support his nutrition, and he had the peritoneal dialysis catheter placed in close to August. But his overall NICU stay was about 157 days. And we had 2 readmissions after the NICU stay. So we've been on a roller coaster. Like, I didn't get Jaleel home until he was close to 8 months old. It was a ride. But overall, he's persevered through so much. And the next step for him medically is to find a kidney donor. He's 2 years old now. He's so full of joy. You can't tell he's been through any of this. And he's just given me so much hope, and also just gave me the meaning of life on a deeper level, because I didn't know how complex life is until I had him. So I'm just thankful for my miracle baby. And my goal right now is to be his advocate and also advocate for those who are new into the NICU journey and the special needs journey, because it is a journey, as you know, Erica. And so that's my passion, is to give back. Once I got my master's degree, I've been a stay-at-home mom. But I was like, what can I do? Because I've always been a purpose-driven person. And I was like, well, I could just advocate and share resources and hopefully connect with other moms on social media to share our story, resources, and advice. So here we are.
Wow. So do you have respite care or home nursing that helps support you as well throughout the day with his care?
In the beginning, when we transitioned home, there was a home health nurse that came weekly just to assess Jaleel, because he has monthly labs, because he has dialysis. Every night they have to adjust his medications and so forth and make sure his treatment is going okay. So home care comes once a week. And he is seen by his specialty care doctors, like the nephrologist and transplant team, every month, just to make sure that he's in the right direction. As you know, and most of us know as medical moms, it's been a transition with COVID. A lot of the appointments have been telemedicine. We're just now getting to a place where some moms are willing to take their child to their appointments. And I just took that leap of faith to take Jaleel to his therapy last week and this week, because we've been home just to protect him, because he is medically compromised. But most of the time, it is me doing most of the work, and my husband helps out, of course, once he gets off of work. He's just as familiar with Jahlil as I am. He can do dialysis, he can do G2 feeds connecting him, he can administer medicines. And so we both work as a couple to help our son thrive. And that's been a huge blessing, because I could imagine doing this all by myself.
Yes. And you already know we are there. I'm like, girl, I could just give and hug you, because I know exactly what that feels like, being able to have a partner to support you through this journey and knows how to do all of the care. Right.
Mm-hmm.
My son Maxwell also had a recent appointment at the hospital, and we did go ahead and make the decision to transport him and go. But it's still scary, right? It's still a fear of the unknown when it comes
yes.
to this virus and what it could do for our babies who have respiratory issues and other issues, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we're just keeping our hands and our hope and our prayers in God, and that he's going to work it all out, and that they do get a vaccine eventually that can help help our babies and help everyone else out who is going through this. So I'm happy that you shared that. So at some point in time, you and your husband were like, we're ready to grow our family. So take us on that next part of your journey.
Well, Erica, if I can be very honest with you, we never really had that conversation, like, let's try. Like, me and my husband, we just enjoy each other, if that makes sense. And I'm not, like, I've been on birth control off and on. I've tried the natural way, because I know sometimes the birth control can harm you even more. So I just told my husband, I'm just enjoying you. You're enjoying me. Whatever happens, happens. But the first couple of times were very damaging, because I had miscarriages back to back after Jahlil, and it was after he was 1 year old. And the first one, I was educated even more, because I had went to my OBGYN, and she was telling me, I think it was close to, it had to be like around 11 weeks. And this was the first time I ever heard this term, but I was getting scanned, and she mentioned that she saw the sac, but the baby, of course, didn't have a heartbeat. And so she had explained to me that it was a miscarriage. And I was crushed, because I was like, what is that? And then she was like, well, it's just your baby, something happened while the chromosomes were coming together and the process was happening. Something must have happened. And at that point, I'm like, what do I do? Because my body's thinking I'm pregnant, and I'm seeing the baby in the sac, no heartbeat. And so she told me that I could just allow it to pass naturally on its own. It may take a while, or I could opt for the pill. And I ended up taking the pill, because I didn't want to carry a baby that wasn't, you know, alive. And it was very painful, because when I took that pill, she said I was going to have to come home instantly, because it worked so quickly, and I was going to be bleeding a lot and passing tissue. And that was the instance that I discovered Sisters in Loss, because I was so heartbroken, and I didn't know what to even address with my husband. I was just in so much pain, and I was looking at, like, miscarriage stories, and I just discovered Sisters in Loss. I'm like, what is this about? And I saw that you had a podcast, and you were interviewing a lot of ladies that have been through the experience of loss. And what I loved about your platform is that it doesn't discriminate from the ones that lost the baby miscarriage wise to the ones that have a stillborn, and to the ones that even once they're born, they unfortunately lose their child. So I just, I appreciated your platform at the time. And I cried and sobbed the whole time that I was listening to the stories. And I think it was a sweet release for me. And listening to the ladies talk about it on Facebook, I felt like there was a community, you know, a love support should I need it. And after that, once I went through that painful experience, I waited a couple of months and we tried again. And I was in a place where I wanted to sexually connect with my husband. We wasn't like pressured about a baby. We've never been that way. But when I did see the positive, I took the test and everything looked like green light. And it wasn't until I came home one day and I was sitting down and I was cramping a lot. My husband was like, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And then next thing I'm sitting down, thankfully I had some blankets. I always have blankets around. And my pants were soaked with blood. And I said, "I shouldn't be bleeding like this. This is the third miscarriage that I'm talking about." And I told my husband, I rushed in the bathroom. I said, This is not a good pregnancy. I could tell. And I didn't even go to the OBGYN. I just knew my body based on the experience that I had the second time. I said, "This is not a good experience. This should not be happening," because I didn't bleed at all with Jahlil. And so all the time that I seen blood, I knew something wasn't right. And so when I saw the sac pass naturally from my body, I grieved. And I was like just numb because I didn't realize like how complex this process is. And I saw a lot of stories online and then I couldn't process anymore because I was just a wreck. And after I had went through that loss, I think I was just like in a place where I just wanted to grieve and seek some answers. And thankfully I had a sister, a God sister, that spoke into my spirit. And she told me, she said, "Tanisha, don't take any more pregnancy tests. I know you like to do it because that's the trend, you know, that goes on, surprising your husband." But my husband at that point, he just couldn't believe, you know, the positive anymore. And I was tired of taking the test to confirm it. And he was, and she had told me, she was like, "Tanisha, don't take a pregnancy test. God will show you when you're pregnant. He will show you through your body. And just wait, just wait. Your body will show you." And I was like, "I'm gonna listen to that because I'm tired of being devastated. And I know my husband is too, because you get so quickly excited once you hear about the big fat positive." And we had been brokenhearted multiple times. And she told me not to take it. So, and I waited 12 weeks this year, 2020. I waited 12 weeks and right close to the first trimester being over. And I didn't see no bleeding, no cramping. I didn't have my period, which my period is regular. And I just felt very bloated and I was eating a lot. And so I told my ultrasound technician, I said, "I have a good feeling about this." And she said, "You do?" I said, "I really do. I really do." And when she scanned me, she confirmed a healthy, healthy baby in there. And she was growing and moving along. And she could kind of detect the sex. And she's like, "Do you want to know?" And I said, "Sure." And she was like, "It's a baby girl." And I said, "Wow, this is just amazing." She was ticking at 155. And I was just, from that moment on, I said, "God restores what you thought you lost." Because I felt like, man, you know, I just want to see what this experience is, a healthy pregnancy. Because at the time we were planning on a home birth, which I know you're a doula, and with Jahlil, but we never got that chance because everything was medically complex. So this time around, I am opening my heart back up to midwife-free and having the child at home, a healthy baby girl. And 20 weeks, I just had my scan with her and everything came back good. all the organs were growing well. And the ultrasound technician told me, she's like, you're on the right track. You're on the right track. You don't have to come back no time soon. And she said, just rest, keep doing what you're doing. So I stand before you just thankful and full of love and hope, especially with 2020 being so traumatic and so a lot of people's hearts are hurting. But to have a rainbow baby in this time, this season, is just knowing that God's covenant is still here and that God is still creating life. Even though there are lives being lost, unfortunately, God is still creating life. And I'm just so thankful every week that we go through this experience to say that my baby girl's growing, and I'm 21 weeks now. So it's beautiful.
Yes, it's amazing. And I love that you are considering a home birth. That is
amazing.
I'm excited for you. And obviously, I'm sure you're looking up doulas and midwives in your area so that they can support you through that. But I'm excited to just watch this baby girl be born at home in the comfort of your place, and then being surrounded by her big brother, you know?
Yes.
It's gonna be amazing. I'm excited about that. So I would love for you to share your experience. I mean, we talk a lot about healing and grief and trauma, and I would love for you to share, you know, how you overcame, you know, three different losses, you know, NICU trauma, and really now how you're turning your pain into your purpose.
But definitely, it's just knowing that, which is so hard, this truth, it still creeps up on me. I would be unhuman if I didn't say this, but the mommy guilt to say, what did I do wrong? I remember hearing, I'm not sure if you're familiar with this show, but I'm a big fan, Married to Medicine. And Dr. Jackie, which is an OBGYN, she has said that miscarriage, she said something, I'm paraphrasing, but she said, sometimes when it's speaking about miscarriage, it's to protect you. A lot of the times that we discuss miscarriage, it's like a sting, which it pierces, it does hurt. But sometimes it's your body's way of protecting you and indicating something's not right, let me correct it and fix it. Because clearly there's something wrong. And a lot of times we carry that weight as mothers, wondering what we did to make this happen. And never did my husband point at me, and never did I point at him, but I just felt like I was carrying most of the burden, because, you know, I'm like, what's going on? But it wasn't until I heard her say, like, miscarriage is a way of protecting you, and it's also part of the process. I heard that too, when I was listening to Kobe Bryant's Moose documentary, bless his heart, that he just transitioned this year. But he was just talking about his wife, Vanessa, went through miscarriage, and he thought it was his fault. And even though the care team said, no, you know, this is part of the pregnancy, that this is part of you developing life. Sometimes it's unfortunate, but it's part of the process. And that was speaking to my spirit. And then when I end up interacting with the sisters-in-law, and one of the sisters was putting together a secret sister, and I was wanting to get this book called Iyanla Van Zandt. And so I put that as my gift that I would love to have. When that sister gave me that book really helped me heal even more, because it was really evaluating my inner thoughts and just how I process hurt and trauma. And to realize that some of the things that we take on, it's not for us to take on. It just happens. It's a natural cause. And when I was listening to Iyanla Van Zandt, which she's always speaking life into people's lives, and that's why she has the Fix My Life platform. But her words has always been self-soothing to me, spiritually, listening to the Bible and just listening to the God that had the promise, the rainbow, you know, to show that he was still over his people, that he never left. And just knowing that God, when his own perfect timing, will restore what you thought you lost. You just won't be able to see it, because even though I was happy, you know, the times that I took the pregnancy test, I knew in my heart that even Jaleel's journey was so complex, and we were just starting to learn how to be special needs parents. And so to have that on my shoulders and try to be pregnant and carrying a baby that needs a lot of my energy as well, it's going to be a lot of hard work. And so now that I feel like a lot of weight has been lifted, I'm no longer in school. I graduated last year. And so that weight is gone. And then Jaleel's doing so well with his kidney journey. And he's already on the list for a kidney donor. So a lot of the things that I've been desiring are actually in alignment. And now that we are expecting this year, it just makes sense. Like, I didn't see it. You know, I didn't see it in the first couple of years that I was hurt with the miscarriage. But now I see, oh, this is the right time. I'm no longer stressed about school. Jaleel's not in the hospital. He's healthy. He's thriving, you know. And things are opening up where they're supposed to open up. Another thing is just the support groups that I've found with the NICU community. I didn't realize there was a lot of NICU moms, special needs moms, that I could reach out to until I was challenged to make Medical Moms and NICU my platform, a professional project. And by reaching out to moms on Instagram, man, I listened to their stories, and their stories are so rich. It made me not feel so heavy, because I felt like we could carry the load together. And so finding those communities have always been a healing process for me, because when you isolate yourself, it makes more damage. And so for anyone who's listening, I would just say, reach out, be open to the resources that are there, because they're out there. You just have to have an open heart to seek it. And so those are my tips of advice on how I overcame a lot of the trauma with Jaleel, finding the community, finding your community to heal from the miscarriages that I've experienced, and just God and just looking at spiritual teachers like Yolanda Van Zandt, and really just owning that I did nothing wrong. Sometimes you have to say that over and over again for yourself to believe it, that I didn't do anything wrong. Multiple times the OBGYN reassured me that. And so I had to believe it for myself. And so once I believed it, I think my womb was like, okay, you released that pressure, that weight that you've been carrying for months. And the natural process could occur for us to have a new addition this year. So I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for the testimony and the test. Even though it was a struggle in the beginning, I understand it now better now than ever before. So
yes, thankful for the test and the testimony. I love that. I would love for you to share some encouraging words. As you know, we are in a time of uncertainty. We have protests and riots and, you know, police brutality going on. Mm-hmm. But also, we're in the midst of a pandemic with COVID-19. A lot of women are pregnant, like yourself, after a loss. Mm-hmm. They may have had fertility treatments put on hold or paused, mm-hmm, or canceled. Mm-hmm. So we're all kind of living in this time of uncertainty. What encouraging words can you leave with our listeners during this time of uncertainty?
I would say definitely feel what you feel. Your emotions are valid, whether it be sorrow, whether it be anger, whether it be frustration, anxiety. Feel everything. Don't allow anyone to remove your feelings. From a spiritual standpoint, a lot of the times, even when it comes to the police brutality issues, a lot of times we mask our hurt and anger and we don't address it. We don't address the trauma. So I would just say, be real with yourself. Don't allow anyone to dictate how you should process the information that is going on this year. But also be careful not to consume it heavily on a regular basis. By me being pregnant, I've been very intentional about the time that I spend on social media. I haven't commented on a lot of the incidents with police brutality because I'm mindful of the energy that my baby girl is feeling, and I can't take in a lot of information. So those who are expecting right now, take it easy. Listen to positive affirmations. Listen to soothing music. Yesterday I was listening to a lot of gospel. I've been listening to a lot of gospel music. I have a playlist on my YouTube that I listen to encourage myself on a regular basis, because that is more powerful right now. You're creating life and your baby is feeling everything you're feeling. So it is important to protect your space, your energy, those who you're around that don't give you the positive information that you need. Let them go, because you have to protect your family. And as far as COVID is, understand that there are precautions, health precautions that are being taken place. And try your best to stay safe. Do what they recommend, the health department and whole the doctors and the nurses, but at the same time, don't live in fear, because we are light beings and our body needs natural light. We need to go outside. We can distance ourselves and be modest with how often we go out, but your body needs vitamin D, natural light. You need to be in nature, because that helps your soul. When you're secluded like this, it's not healthy either. So just have a balance with that and protect yourself as best as you can by washing your hands, wearing masks and social distancing. But at the same time, be in nature. Nature is the best cure, I believe, in all this. God's garden, eating a lot of holistic foods. Right now, I've been like very mindful of what I'm putting into my body. I do have my little cravings as a pregnant woman, but I try to eat more green foods. I have a book that I'm studying now called Whole 9 Months, and it's all about eating holistically and eating more colorful foods to help you and baby get the vitamins and minerals and nutrition that you need to thrive. And that makes a huge difference in your pregnancy and calming down the symptoms and also preparing you for a natural delivery if that's what you desire. But those would be my words of wisdom. More than anything, is just protect your energy, protect your space, be involved in Zoom conferences that are going to build you up and not tear you down. There's plenty of those out there, so you don't have to feel like you're lonely. And so just be open to that as well. And but most importantly, know that God is with you. He's never left. He's still in control of all things. And even though we can't see it, he's making miracles happen every day, even in our sleep. So knowing that God created this world, he created us, he created animals, he created everything that we see. And so know that he is the author and finisher of our faith. And so that's when you feel like there's no hope, look up. And you will see that God is still blessing. And that's all I would like to say to all those who are listening, and just know that God is with you and trust the timing, because a lot of times we put plans in play and we want to say, God, I want this to happen for me. Trust God's timing, because it's impeccable. I truly believe, like now I'm laughing. I'm like, God, you're right on time with all this going on. This baby is a sign of hope. And I'm not worried about being pregnant and COVID, because I know God gave me this gift. And so every day, I just thank God for the gift that he has given me, And so for those who desire to be pregnant, trust and believe that God knows your heart. Cry out to him in your darkest hours, and he will give you what you need in that due time. Just have to be patient and trust the process, which is hard for a lot of us to do, but it's worth it in the end. So that's what I would say.
It is worth it in the end. I love this. So where can we connect with you after this episode? Drop your social for us.
My social is Medical Moms of NICU. I can be found with that handle on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. Those are my primary. For those who would like to connect with me, Medical Moms of NICU, we help medical moms navigate the medical system with ease by courageously connecting and sharing our NICU story, our NICU resources, our NICU advice, and our NICU questions. And so I just want to say thank you so much, Erica, for featuring me. This was a big deep dive for me, because for a while, for the longest, I have not shared. This is the first time sharing my miscarriages publicly. Not even my mom knows the details of what we endured as a couple, but I felt like I needed to do this because so many of the women before me have done it. And I feel like if I was able to speak it, I'm no longer ashamed. I'm no longer ashamed of miscarriage, because I know that it's a process. And sometimes it just happens, unfortunately, but it does make you stronger. And so I just thank you for this platform. I needed to do that in order for me to say, I'm not ashamed of my story. I'm vulnerable right now. But a lot of women before me were vulnerable and willing to take that step. So I'm just thankful for this opportunity to talk with you and connect with you. And like I said, we are close. Even though I have not talked to you, I've seen your son. I've heard your stories of what you went through, and I'm amazed. So I share the same mutual love and respect for you as a special needs mom.
Absolutely, yes, absolutely. And I'm going to continue to follow your journey with your son, but also with this new baby girl as she is growing and getting stronger every day. I just love your spirit. And we definitely will connect offline for sure.
Yes, most likely. Like I said, if you have a bit, just call me. I understand.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Tanisha, for being on the podcast and sharing your story and your light with us. It has been a blessing for sure.
Thank you, Erica. Keep doing the great job that you are doing with Sisters in Loss.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. For show notes, go to sistersinloss.com. To stay connected with us and join the Sisters in Loss community and receive my weekly newsletter, please go to sistersinloss.com/newsletter. That is sistersinloss.com/newsletter. Please rate and review this episode, and I will talk to you next week.